I imagined her sitting daintily, one leg crossed over the other, her expression wry. Her feet would still be bare, I felt certain. I tried not to imagine the other one at all. "Come with me," said the woman, rising. She came closer, and I felt a cool hand take my own. Though I had gotten a taste of her power on that long-ago day in the alley, I felt nothing of her right then, even this close. It was all the Night Lord's cold that filled the room.
What?
I turned to go with her out of sheer unthinking self-preservation. But as she tugged my hand, my feet stopped moving. She stopped as well, turning to me. I tried to speak and could not muster words. Instead, I turned, not wanting to, but needing to. I faced the Night Lord, who stood near the bed, looming over Shiny. There was a hint of kindness in the lady's voice. "We will do him no harm, not even Naha." "Naha," I thought dizzily. "The Night Lord has a pet name." I licked my lips. I swallowed again. "Usually a light sleeper." She nodded. I couldn't see her, but I knew it. I didn't need to see her to know anything she did. "The sun has just set, though it still lights the sky," she said, taking my hand again. "This is my time. He'll wake when I let him, though I don't intend to let him until we're gone. It's better that way." She led me downstairs. In the kitchen, she sat with me at the table, taking the other chair. Here, away from Nahadoth, I could feel something of her, but it was restrained somehow, nothing like that moment in the alley. She had an air of stillness and balance. I debated whether I should offer her tea. "Why is it better that Shiny stay asleep?" I asked at last. She laughed softly. "I like that name, Shiny. I like you, Orishoth, which is why I wanted to talk to you alone." I started as her fingers, gentle and strangely calloused, tilted my face down so she could see me more clearly. I remembered she was much shorter than me. "Naha was right. You really are lovely. Your eyes accentuated, I think." I said nothing, worried that she hadn't answered my question. After a moment, she let me go. "Do you know why I prohibit the godlings from leaving Shadow?" I blinked in confusion. No. "I think you do know. Better than any other, perhaps. Look what happens when even one mortal gets too closely involved with our kind. Destruction, murder. Shall I let the whole world suffer the same?" I frowned, opened my mouth, hesitated, then finally decided to say what was on my mind. "I think," I said slowly, "that it doesn't matter whether you restrict the godlings or not."
"Oh?"
I wondered if she was genuinely interested, or whether this was some sort of test. "Well, I wasn't born in Shadow. I went there because I had heard about the magic, because I would be able to see there," I had intended to say, but that wasn't true. In Shadow, I had seen wonders on a daily basis, but in practical terms, I hadn't been much better off than I was in Strafe. I'd still needed a stick to get around. I hadn't cared about being able to see anyway. I had come because of the tree and the godlings and the rumors of still greater strangeness. I had yearned to find a place where my father could have felt at home. And I had not been the only one. All my friends, most of whom were not demons or godlings or magic touched in any way, had come to Shadow for the same reason. Because it had been a place like no other. Because the magic called to me, I said at last. "That will happen wherever magic is. It's part of us now, and some of us will always be drawn to it. So unless you take it away completely, which even the interdiction never managed to do," I spread my hands, "bad things will happen. And good."
"Good?"
The lady sounded thoughtful.
"Well, yes."
I swallowed again. "I regret some of what's happened to me, but not all of it."
"I see," she said.
Another silence fell, almost companionable.
"Why is it better that Shiny stay asleep?" I asked, very softly this time.
"Because we've come to kill you." My innards turned to water, yet strangely,
I found it easier to talk now. It was as if my anxiety had passed some threshold beyond which it became pointless. "You know what I am," I guessed. "Yes," she replied. "You bent the chains we placed on Etempus and released his true power, even if only for a moment. That got our attention. We've been watching you ever since." "But," she shrugged, "I was immortal for longer than I've been a god. The possibility of death is nothing new or especially frightening to me, so I don't care that you're a demon." I frowned. "Then what?" But I remembered the Night Lord's question. "Does he love you yet?" "Shiny," I whispered. "He was sent here to suffer, Ori. To grow, to heal, to hopefully rejoin us someday. But make no mistake, this was also a punishment." She sighed, and for an instant, I heard the sound of distant rain. "It's unfortunate that he met you so soon. In 1,000 years, perhaps, I could have persuaded Nahadoth to let this go. Not now."